Oh, hey. Hi.
Oh.
Hey. I'm here in town in real life. Normally, I'm just a AI rendering that we claim
He's
to
avatar.
Say lives in Texas. But the truth is that I only appear when they allow me to appear. And I've been allowed out of the closet.
We ran out of AI in the podcast.
Yeah, we keep them back in the closet, yeah. In the prop closet.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So, you know how there's like...
Dust them off.
Well, what? Wonder Dynamics has like credits, or they did have credits
like
that they gave
them,
us.
Like,
yeah,
GBT,
it's like,
AI,
you know, you
like...
get credits so that, well, we ran out. And yeah. When we run out, then I get to come out.
You have to come back in person to renew those credits.
Yeah. Right. So anyways, welcome back to the
donate.
Quarter Digital Podcast, episode 178.
Dang.
How many of these are we going to do?
We're just gonna keep 492.
I was gonna say 533,000.
This is the first podcast
nice
I've done
number.
In quite some time, too.
It is, Ren. What have you been up to, man?
Dude,
people have missed you.
Well, I mean, I've either been busy or I've been hurt.
Right.
Which, yeah, I don't want to sound like a broken record, so we don't need to talk about how I'm hurt.
Well, you, yeah.
Any new injuries though? Just to clear the record, make sure everyone's cool. No,
mm-hmm.
No new.
They have no new injuries. None at all. Nope. Not me.
The inflection in your voice.
What have you learned about crashing so much, though, Ren? Are you going to change your ways?
Absolutely.
Okay. Are you?
Absolutely. I'm going to not crash as much.
That's not an answer.
I mean, yeah. Okay. For those of you who don't know, I recently, like 6-7 weeks ago, broke my collarbone again. But it was the other time this side.
Racing.
The other side this time.
Racing.
Yeah. I was, because it's like, for the first time ever, I found myself actually getting really good at a sport, like an athletic sport. I've been saying I'm arguably in the top 25, but definitely in the top 50 of like the hundreds of thousands of one-wheelers out there. And, you know, hundreds of people are going to these events and I'm doing really well.
But sporting, this is my harsh take on this. Sporting like that is a young man's game.
Okay, which is exactly
we're not spring chickens anymore, Ren.
Which is why I gave myself this year. This was the last year I gave myself to really make a push because there's a bunch of new young kids coming into adulthood who are aging up into these the pro men's
divisions.
It's
like 18-year-olds that are way more limber that can just fall off and get up
again.
Their
tendons are so flexible.
Yeah. They are. It's true. Yeah. It's. I mean, that's what that when you're yeah.
The annoying question I get is like, you should learn how to roll, and I'm like, oh boy. I know how to roll, but like the time it took for me to hit the bump and to go down was like there was zero time to react.
Yeah.
Zero time. It was just like I was going fast. I was cooking down this trail and I hit like this washboard thing and it stopped my board dead. It was literally just like doo-doo-doosh.
Right.
And I was on the ground. I immediately bounced up. By bounce, I mean like I jumped up it got up off the ground, and that was kind of when I registered, like, oh, my collarbone's shifting around.
It's broken again.
Yeah, I was furious. It was hard. It's hard to describe the type of emotions that I was having at that time because it was mostly just pure rage and fury at myself and the situation. It sucked. But yeah.
I mean, you're not Tom Brady, you know?
No. But then
you can't keep going at it until you're 45 years old.
But it was mostly just disappointment because it immediately shot my whole season. Like, my season was shot because of that, and I know I'm not going to get another shot at it.
That's
so disappointing.
You're right. No, that's
I mean,
see
you,
that's
you
the
could
thing.
Start your own one wheeling league. Like the
so I'm like I'm soft retiring right now. I'm still riding. I'm still riding hard,
league.
But I'm not gonna keep going hard like I have been.
That's kind of how the most that's the most common story when you're talking about an athletic career ending, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like something happened,
tore my ACL,
and then that was your last chance, and then it's almost no one gets the, oh, and then we won the Super Bowl.
It does happen.
It's like nobody. It's like, it does happen. But I'm saying, like, you think about all the people that play a sport, or even like amateur participate in a sport, not as a professional.
Yeah.
But like, when do you stop doing that sport? That's how,
till you die.
Because that's the nature. That's the nature of sports competition.
Was Jamal kind of Murray? I think is his name. He just won the NBA championship after tearing his ACL a couple years ago.
Well, right, but like, is he going to retire this year now?
Well, no.
Exactly.
So he just won a championship.
Right, exactly. Because you're like, well, I just won one. Why wouldn't I stop? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You keep going.
Well, the irony of it all is because I recognized at the end of last year that, oh, I need to actually start getting more fit in order to prevent injury. So like in December, literally like the last day of December, I sprained my ankle pretty badly and I was out for pretty much the first month of this year. And I was like, that's no good. So I've been getting really into training. I have a personal trainer I work out twice a week with, getting really into yoga and all that stuff. And all of that under the pretense of getting more athletic and injury prevention. And it's just ironic a little bit because the injury I got, I couldn't have prevented. I had all of my protective gear on, a full face helmet, full chest pad, chest plate,
did you
shoulder
have
pads,
football,
elbow pads,
shoulder pads on?
Yeah,
them?
No, it was the full thing. It's like a motorcycling vest that goes down to your wrists. Like elbow pads.
It sounds like they need to add a few pauldrons to that.
There's just no way to protect your collarbone that way.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
You need one of those inflatable emergency like suits that just like as soon as you pull the ripcord, it just and you turn into a freaking state puff.
I thought that could make
man.
like a great like YouTube video. Like I invented my
like,
own.
Dude, like dude, if we made one for a video, that'd be amazing.
I remember.
And
seeing,
we have the perfect motivation.
I think there was a company in Amsterdam a while ago that made like a similar inflatable bike helmet to protect riders' necks because it's such a bicycle like centric city, and like lots of people wear helmets. But I could be getting this totally wrong. Let me know in the comments. But like, it was a thing that had a motion detector, and like at a certain threshold, it would just instantly inflate this like neck brace.
It's legit. I've seen videos of that. I've
seen them for motorcyclists. Way,
oh, sorry.
Someone calls your name.
like I saw a thing. It was like motorcycle guys. If you like fall off your bike, it freaking just like.
Yeah, I mean, expands. We could try it. We could try.
We could just start by buying one.
It's hard to find the line between like an airbag, which is so explosive it'll break your neck, and something that is too slow to actually protect you.
So we got to really do the math before we make Emmett put it on.
But look,
Emmett is our new intern.
I just want to say, like, this is not an uncommon thing that you went through.
A good friend of mine who is like he got his name's Bodie, number two racer last year. He got the silver medal of all of one wheeling last year. He broke his collarbone 3 weeks before I did, doing the same thing on a racetrack.
But at a certain point, you have to go, I need to stop this. And I'm glad that you.
He's also 10 years younger than me,
right? And I'm glad that you decided to strengthen your body in order to prevent injury, because the one thing that you lose as you get older is muscle mass. Once you're over the age of like 30, your early to mid 30s, your muscle mass, if you don't maintain it, starts to that the older you get, the more dramatically that declines.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're younger, it's cardio is the harder thing to get and maintain. But as you get older, so it's flexibility and muscle mass.
I used to be able to do the splits as a kid, like to the side.
Yeah, you were a splits kid. You had the big curly hair.
Oh, yeah.
But flexibility, and you said you were doing yoga.
Yeah.
Right. Flexibility is super important to injury prevention, because most of the time when you injure yourself, it's because something is moving in a way that it's not used to.
Yeah.
And the more range of motion you have with your entire body, the less likely you are to get injured. It sounds simple, but that's the basics.
I rolled my ankle over the weekend, and normally that would have been a sprained ankle, but I just stood up and was like, that was nothing. Yes.
I went down a half pipe on, what? Or not a half pipe, a quarter pipe. It was only like a 3-foot quarter pipe. in cowboy boots the other day.
On a skateboard or yeah, just like jumping off?
On a skateboard.
That was exactly how I sprained my ankle in December, by the way. It was going down a quarter pipe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I fell off and I sprained my wrist.
Oh, dang. Okay.
And it's still not quite perfect. And that happened in November.
Oh, wow.
Last year. Damn. Yeah.
Perhaps they're sending it, though.
I don't know if I want fine. All right. Fine.
Send it.
But yeah, that's, you know, and now I go, do I?
Yeah. No, I, every possible emotion I could have possibly had over the last 2 months, I've experienced.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't a really good time for me. I'll put it that way. I've definitely rethought my life quite a bit.
And so in this thinking process, where did you land on the sport of one wheeling, Ren?
Oh, I mean, I'm never going to stop. I did a 24 mile ride down a mountain on Sunday.
Why?
We descended 6,200 feet vertical altitude. It was amazing. It was awesome.
A steep drop, dude.
Yeah, it was a big drop. It was a big drop. But like I was going easy.
You took Dean too, didn't you?
Yeah.
My sweet Dean.
He's going to pound all of Dean's bones into powder.
You're going to pound the bones of my sweet Dean. How could you do this to me?
Oh, don't go up on the mountain. You'll crush your bones out.
it was a good ride. It was a casual ride. I'm just, it's what I enjoy most in life. There's nothing okay. I enjoy more than just being on a trail, riding my heart out.
It's the best, man. And like, but once you're up there, you understand.
Yeah.
I get that part of it. But do you always have to go for finding the line of the edge of, you know, your current abilities at that time machine?
That's a good question. And no, I'm actively trying to not do
that. Okay.
Right now.
This is good. So in
the problem is that my abilities are so much higher than everyone I know, you know, that they just think I'm always sending it. No, I'm playing kind of playing, but like, cause like I'll do something that doesn't seem that big of a deal to me, but everyone's like, oh my God. And I'm like, well, I mean,
so
everyone I know that I look up to in one wheeling, this what I just did would be simple for them.
The Hell's Angels do this, okay? They ride on the edge of what a man can ride a motorcycle on.
Motorcycles.
They do this intentionally.
Much higher stakes.
Are they?
Yeah.
Because a one wheel can go like
pure kinetic energy. Yeah. 60 miles an hour versus 20 miles an hour.
Right.
It's a very big difference.
That's a huge difference. You're
especially
right.
Especially when you got giant multi-ton vehicles around you at various points.
Okay, here's
than just
an
rocks.
Interesting fact that we found out from motorcycling that I'm wondering if you should consider this with one wheeling. Most people who fall off a motorcycle and die, it's the propensity for how likely you are to die if you fall off your bike grows exponentially with age, because your body falls and sustains a similar injury when you're a young man, does not recover when you fall and sustain the injuries when you're an older man.
That's fair.
But no matter what, you're eating shit.
Right. Okay. So are you like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to coast into my middle ages on my one wheel rather than speed ahead on the edge of all potential reality.
I'm going to coast. I mean, I'm still probably going to try to push it here and there, but that's what I mean by I was giving myself this year to really try to hone this ability to be as fast and as good as possible to be competitive at this sport that is quickly growing.
Yeah.
And it's a sport that I adore and love. But now that I've kind of just lost the wave, like my racing didn't work out. I missed the first race, straight up just didn't get there in time. And then the second race, I just broke my collarbone and was just like, okay, I'm out for the rest of the season. And so now because of that, I'm not even going to really try to race anymore, I don't think. But
I mean, I still think there's a ton of value in being a proponent of the sport and the
like, I would love
hobby.
To keep like commentating races.
Yeah, that there's like, you know, there's a ton of that. I think it brings a ton of joy to people. Like any sport, but I just, yeah.
No,
just,
I mean,
I just don't want to see you breaking all your bones again, man.
Me
because
neither.
When you get, when you hit like your mid 40s, dude, you're going to start to feel this shit. I'm telling you.
I know.
Okay. Okay. So I'm just trying to like mitigate it a little bit because I want to see you upright. That's all.
No, and I appreciate the concern and I think it's valid. You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, there's
you are who you are.
Yeah.
Right.
One question.
But it is specifically why I'm never going to own a motorcycle, because I am accident prone enough that I just do not trust myself with one.
Yeah.
That's valid.
What are you gonna ask?
With you taking a step back from the competitive racing circuit, do you have any interest in
fingerboarding?
Shifting.
I was gonna say,
all you gotta look out for. No, that wasn't my question. All you have to look out in there is carpal tunnel. Do you have any interest in focusing more on filming video parts and pushing the progression of trick riding? Because I saw the video you did in the mini ramp, and I don't know if that's something you're more interested in.
I've always been more of a trail rider than a trick rider. Like, the guys I know who do tricks, I'm nowhere remotely near their level, even though I can do a fair number of them. So that's even further out for me than racing.
So tricks are more dangerous, even though they're kind of more.
In my opinion, they're, it's hard to say. Rather, most people who do tricks on a one wheel will say tricks aren't that dangerous because they know how to not roll their ankle when they fall down or not hit their head and stuff like that. And yet a lot of the times they still do that. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I can the tricks that I can do, I'm happy with, but I'm not trying to push the edge of that.
Here's a question.
I don't enjoy it as much.
About the progression of one wheel tricking.
Mm-hmm.
Have they begun to modify the boards at all to have less weight and probably less battery capacity so that they can do more with the boards?
Yeah, there's a battery pack from Tri Battery Systems called the Stunt Pack. It's a half battery pack that you actually, it only fills half of the enclosure.
Yeah.
And you put it closer to the wheel so you get a smaller moment of inertia, less weight. Yeah, for the XR. Mm. There's no batteries for the GT right now. It's all locked down system.
Dude, put that in the V1. I have a super light board.
Dude, the V1 is still by far the lightest board. It's also the weakest board and a crunchy experience. I can't believe
most suicidal
still
board.
Yeah,
works.
It was very touchy. Remember how touchy
it was?
I have
one that works upstairs. If you ever
we rode it around the upstairs studio.
No, I don't need to be reminded of how touchy it is. I remember riding the V1 in the day and being like, oh, your foot's off. Did it even know that my foot was why is my foot's in the same spot it was in 2 minutes
ago?
It just
shuts off, yeah.
Why is it off? Because. Just, be ready to fall.
You're grateful for every second that you're on that board when you're on it. Really. You really don't take it for granted, because as soon as you do, you're on the ground.
Yeah.
I will say, almost every time, this was the first time I got injured in a serious way where I wasn't not paying full attention. Does that make sense? Like, every time I've gotten injured in the past, it was because I wasn't paying 100% attention to what was in front of me. Like, I looked away or I got sidetracked by something and I didn't really see
what
was in front of me.
That's probably why it was the most frustrating for you.
Yeah.
Because you were doing everything you could and it still brought you down and broke a bone, which is incredibly frustrating.
Did I show you I just got my photos this morning of the surgery.
Oh,
so I actually see what the titanium plate looks like on actual broken bone with my skin pulled apart.
Oof. So how long do they have to leave that in there for?
It's there forever.
Forever.
I could elect to have it taken out in a year, but it's another invasive surgery. I mean, the crazy thing I didn't expect going into this was that I the nerve damage. I cannot feel any of my skin from my shoulder to my sternum.
Ooh.
I don't know if you can see the scar here, but everything underneath that scar, most of the nerves there were cut. Mm. And so I just can't do anything. So
tattoo
I kind of want to get a tattoo. Yeah, exactly. I want to get a tattoo here. I don't know what to
get.
What
happens when you get
leave
like
a comment down
implants?
Below suggesting what sort of tattoo I should get across my collarbone here.
Let's get like a nerve, synaptic nerves covering all the area that you can't feel.
It's just a big black patch. The swelling has gone down enough that I can start to feel the screws on the plate, which is kind of bizarre.
Is the plate rounded or is it flat?
They didn't sand them out. They're just sharp.
I can show you the photo if you want to see it.
Sure. I'll check out the photo.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's a plate that's been conformed to the shape of a collarbone.
That's pretty dope.
You're all desensitized anyway.
Let me see.
Oh, it looks like a...
I feel like I know you very well now. I've literally seen inside of your meat.
You have.
What's the yellow?
The yellow?
That's
that's like a sheet of plastic or something.
Oh, okay.
My head is
doesn't
to the
look
right
kind of yellow when they chop into it?
That's what I thought
doesn't
it was.
Fat, the fat layer look a little bit...
Dude, that's some high-tech metal in there.
Yeah. Bro. It's crazy. It's like straight up just Torx heads on these screws. I'm not going to show you because it's like legit gruesome, it's but really
gruesome. I mean, yeah, it's clean though. It's not like gruesome like it's brutally cut. Like, I mean, it's a clean cut.
Well, the other one you can actually
it's
see
a clean
the broken
insertion.
Bone.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for everyone watching and listening. And I'm not showing you my broken. Here's a quick look.
That's a broken bone.
Oh
right
man!
There.
But yeah, like you can see like the
that
break
is
and
a
whatnot.
Bone.
So these are photos from Ren's surgery, and
I asked the surgeon to take photos during the surgery, and he
good,
complied.
It's a good surgery right there. Yeah. You know,
I'm healing
like
really after, quickly.
If you guys have if you guys have kids, like those images will not be like, because you'll just be like, ah, you know, it's another.
I just. Yeah.
Another just, thing. Another part of the human body that I now have a completely different appreciation for.
Oh, man.
So I suggest we move on from talking about this because this is now like becoming a series of videos where I just talk about my injuries on this
series
podcast.
Series of videos
I
where
mean,
Ren has injured himself once again.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
The Universal video just came out.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it turned into a really good video.
Here's how we're being taken over by the corporates, guys.
It's all going great.
Frickin' A.
Well,
here's
okay,
the
some
thing.
Context.
We thought about this. We've thought about this concept for months, and we were like, hey, you know what would be a good concept? We do visual effects of the Universal logo over Earth, and we actually figure out like what it would do if something of that size and scale and mass appeared over the surface of the Earth. And so we sat on this. Thought about it. We found a window to make it. You went out and did all the math with Nick. You guys spent 3 weeks, like, you know, freaking everything from the initial conceptualization to then the math to the filming and then the visual effects and boom. And then we drop it on Sunday. It's doing great. Griffin does a banger
I
thumbnail.
I must say that
I
thumbnail
that.
Is
I did
amazing.
A good job on that.
I usually downplay stuff, but like I look at that and I'm like, yeah,
it's a banger thumb. That was the first thumbnail that someone reached out to me looking for the credit for that thumbnail.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait, who made this thumbnail? I must know.
Credit,
I was like, oh,
credit
dude.
Griffin.
But no, it's like, hey, if this image looks like fun, you're gonna like this video.
Mm-hmm. Also, like a fun fact about how we filmed that thumbnail, like, so I'm like flying up in the air in it, but all we did for that is basically I stood right outside these glass doors right here with Griffin looking down on me from above on the mezzanine, and I just kind of like did a jump and like kicked my feet back scorpion style looking up at him with my arm out, and we did a few versions of that, and you kind of like Photoshop mashed a couple of them together.
It's
get,
like one of those
right.
Wedding photos where the photographer goes, okay, groomsmen, everyone's going to jump at the same time. And whoa. Then you all jump with the bridesmaids together. And it's like,
exactly.
Hey,
yeah. Just like that.
But except it was,
we blasted light from the other end of the studio to make it look like I was top lit from the sun.
This guy's married.
This guy's married. This guy's married and has kids. No.
This guy
so the video goes live. It's going well.
Commits.
And it got a copyright strike.
It was going great. Everything was trending. It was going great. Everything was working. And then,
one of 10, too.
Right? And
important.
And then who comes
best
in?
Out of the 10
who comes
previous
in
videos?
With their big swinging dongs and their armies of lawyers, Universal Studios. And they go, guys, we're going to claim this entire video. We're going to claim monetization on this entire video because from minute mark 330 to minute mark 348, you quietly use the Universal theme song in the background to show off your own shot of how the logo goes over the Earth. Now, I get that that's an important part of the video, right? The Universal logo was real, but what are we doing for you, and how are we recontextualizing your logo in a way that is artistic, original, and wholly transformative?
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We thought about it.
We made a whole
too.
Video about it.
Yeah.
Holy
transphobic. And now they're
like, we did a test upload. We tested whether or not it would be, you know, copyright strike on it, and there wasn't, so we're like, okay, this will be fine.
Until it got views.
Until it got views, right. And then they, so here's the way that this works, and I this is a little, I might get a little salty here, but so, you know what? It's just, salt is the flavor of life. So here's the thing. These companies, and I experienced this when I went through law school, what they'll do is, you know, you have a big IP-related company, like Universal, or even more like product companies like 3M or, you know, some of these other companies, they will actively hire new attorneys, usually between like first year out to like 5 years out. And then they'll have, you know, their attorney overlords who are their, you know, the guys who are further up in the firm.
Okay.
And they'll basically be like, oh yeah, 3M, you know, is one of our clients. And so what you got to do is, you know, every time you see like anyone using the letter three or the letter M next to the number three, you just sue them. And
America.
Yeah. So if you ever see anybody, you know, like online and they say, oh, you know, we made the Universal logo real, you just put a copyright claim right on that video, you know, and you just, because they know that, okay, so here's how the YouTube dispute system works. Somebody says, hey, you've used something that I own in your video. I'm going to claim monetization of that video as mine. Now, it doesn't break down by like minute mark, you know, 15 seconds out of a 15 minute video. It's like the whole video now becomes under the copyright owner. And so then you dispute that and you go, ah, no, it's fair use. It's fair use claim, you know, wholly transformative. Da 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 da, four use factors, bada bada. Submit that. And then all they do is they just go, no. They just go, no, we reject this dispute. And then you can submit it one more time. And then if they reject it again, then you have to now file a lawsuit to maintain your fair use claim. Okay. So they know this. And so then they've gotten sophisticated to it. Before, they weren't as sophisticated to it. And you could go, no, dispute. And then they'd actually go, oh, you know what? They do have a fair use claim. Well, let's just leave it. But now, because there's been so much less monetization in the traditional space and more monetization in the YouTube space specifically, now they're more adamant about maintaining monetization of the stuff that they, you know, own or is derivative, as they claim, on YouTube. And so they just take you through this process and they know, well, if we just click, you know, reject, we know that they'll have to sue us in order to maintain their fair use claim. So we'll just keep doing that, even though we know that it's not true. It is transformative and it is fair use. And anybody who knows anything about the fair use doctrine would agree with me. But because we're in a position to just be able to go dispute and then you have to file a lawsuit against us, we're just going to actively be more aggressive about this because we can get away with it. And that's how most of this, what they call policing of your copyright, works. And it's just, man, you know, it's just, I don't know why we need to live like that.
Why can't they
just be like, you know what? It is fair use. Yeah. And guess what? When people see that video, how much cooler are we now?
Brand awareness.
We got free advertising out of this whole video.
So does this straight up mean that like we are, Corridor is not making any money off of this video and probably won't make any money off this
video. We've made a little bit off of it, but then when they file their first dispute, it goes into escrow. But guess what? Nick and I are on the trim train. Maybe I shouldn't say it like that.
I mean,
so we thought of this ahead of time.
Toot.
Is just using different music, right?
Yeah, so Nick and I scrolled through the public archives of YouTube music, and we found one that we think fits well. But the problem is that it cuts out both the song and the audio because the YouTube editor system is their built-in system if you want to like trim a section out of your video, but it doesn't work that well. I mean, it's great that it exists, but it doesn't work that well. So it can't always distinguish between audio and music. Yeah, I mean, so it's just going to replace the section with another song that's free for us to use. But then we have to, well, there's two sections. There's 330 to 348, and then there's 14 seconds to 28 seconds. And so 14 seconds to 28 seconds, we just had to trim because it was like that bit where you're like, I'm going to put the Universal logo above the earth for real. And then the logo, the Corridor Crew logo hits, and then you say it again. It's not as an effective intro, which is why we didn't do it in the first place, but it does get us around that one. So then the second one is...
Wait, so did we do that though?
Yeah, it's processing right now.
Oh, dang.
I know, but we had to. What are we supposed to do? Just have you be muted that whole time?
I thought we were going to like re-upload the video.
See, the thing is we tried that on the last time this happened and then YouTube rejected the re-upload because the re-uploading, the backdoor re-uploading feature, which by the way, when you're in the YouTube like partner system and you have like a direct representative, they allow you.
It's a very privileged position.
They give you a couple like.
This is exactly when we would actually need to. Have a use case though? Of that. Yes.
Is it though? And then it also takes like 3 days.
I mean, if they want to incentivize creators making content that's high quality, I would think so.
Well, either way, last time we did it, they rejected it because they said, oh, this isn't like a good enough reason to use this back end thing. Mm. It's basically only if you accidentally film somebody who's committed suicide in a forest and then you need to like replace that section of your video.
That's an extreme example.
Imagine if someone did that.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, you know, and then they're like, oh, well, actually that's a bad example because it didn't actually happen in that case. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean,
an extreme example is what I mean. They'll allow you to do it in an extreme example, but if it's just like, oh, Universal claimed your video, we don't care. Deal with it. We got the trim system. Cut it out, mute it, replace the song, you know, so they've become less.
So wait, let me get this straight. I'm just learning about this right now. So at the beginning of the video, when I actually state the thesis of the whole video, one of the most important parts, I'm muted.
No, that is in there.
That's in
it's
there.
Everything after you.
As soon as you go, I feel like I'm in a horror movie as I'm about to watch
a
movie.
Oh, so the actual effect shot got cut.
And then that effect happens.
It's just the part when the song comes out, even though it was affected, it was de-pitched. It was echoed.
Right.
There's reverb on it.
But and I love that shot.
I love it too. It's a great shot.
We got to send your complaints to Universal Studios, Hollywood, California.
Yeah, send it to their...
Burbank, California.
Hey, I'm making a plea to you right now. Whoever you are at Universal, you're probably some intern lawyer looking at this. Send this up the chain.
Our intern slaved over that VFX shot.
I slaved over that VFX shot. I did that shot.
Red, I'm sure you're going to have a great chance convincing the person who's second year off the bar exam, who went to UCLA for law school, who's now working for whatever big Paul Hastings corporate firm or Pillsbury they have in downtown LA that Universal hires to police their copyright. I'm sure that person's really going to understand, because if they get it wrong, who above them is going to be like, you know what? Even though you got this one wrong for the firm and our big client's mad at us, you did the right thing. You understand fair use law.
Oh, well, that's encouraging then. Great.
But that's not how it works.
No, I'm just fucking around.
Yeah, that's not how it works, unfortunately. Even though that person would be right, they can't. Again, it comes down. It's like.
It doesn't hurt to try, Ren. Okay.
This is why
I'm like actually legit kind of heartbroken.
The point
right
of
now.
this is why we can't let the corpse get too big, guys. As I literally say this on a big corp tech platform.
But it's true, though, because it's like Universal Studios, like,
as they actively suppress this video.
So wait, this is a company.
Hold up. So like the intro goes and then I'm like, I imagine a movie happening while there's another movie starting.
And then it immediately cuts to you saying
intro goes and I sit down at my desk.
Then you immediately say, I'm going to put the Universal logo in the real world. So you say the same thing. Ren, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I know. It's the reality of it. I get it. I get it. I'm just trying to cope with this new reality. This new
corporate,
reality. Yeah. I'm learning about this right now. You guys have had all day to deal with this new reality.
About 5 minutes probably to actually think
about it. I mean, they originally submitted their claim at 9:14 a.m. yesterday morning Pacific time.
Which was 14 minutes after the video went live?
No, it was
24 hours and 15 minutes.
It was 24 hours and 15 minutes, yeah.
So at least we got that first day.
This is a company that is so big it has a city named after it.
Right.
Getting mad at us for something that costs
for free
them
advertising.
Zero money.
They're getting mad at us for free advertising.
Yep. Well, you know what the sad thing is? I think if they got mad at us, it would at least be more personal. It's just like you're talking
about. Yeah.
There's just like a person who works for a person who works for a person who works for a person going, oh, okay, flag it.
Right.
How can we
because
hurt
think
them?
About okay, so I want to speak to this. I want to speak to this
how can we hurt them, right?
The second year yuppie who's working in this firm who's like, you know, You know, yuppie, young urban professional. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at those.
Yeah, but you know, a young urban professional, like, you know, you're suited and booted. You're ready to go in and fight the good fight for the big corp. So you go to Paul Hastings, right? You go up to that 80th floor in the whatever building of whatever street in whatever city
of
America.
And you look at this man right here having so much fun explaining your own logo.
And what comes across your desk? You're like, the frickin' intern. Or you check the corporate account on YouTube
you check Discord and someone's like, hey, check out this fun Universal video someone did for our company and everyone's loving it. And then
now
you see the joy on Ren's face.
If the job of the job of your firm isn't to expand the fair use doctrine in favor of Universal Studios or like come up with some cutting edge law that case that needs to be solved before the important appellate jurisdiction. No, your job as a lawyer in this firm is to protect and police the Universal IP rights globally. So what are you going to default to when you come across that case? You're not going to take any risk. This is the problem with the structure of large organizations. Risk taking is not encouraged at all whatsoever under any circumstances. That's the biggest problem. You're not allowed to do it because if you mess up, then you're the boss above you and the boss above them. And then it all, you know, and crap rolls downhill and gripes roll up. That's how it works. But
I mean,
you can't do that. You can't take the risk because it's just too much of a structure. And it's like, well, who's even in charge of it? Who is even in charge of the Universal IP?
Well, Disney has a mouse. What does Universal have?
They got a globe.
They have a big globe.
They literally took a picture of the globe and then they put an IP copyright on it.
Oh, should we?
They didn't even come up with
it. As Earthers, we should all copyright them.
With a sans serif font. And they put a sans serif font over the Earth that we all live on. And then they claimed a copyright
in it. Guess what? They left out the clouds too in the atmosphere.
Right.
So they're misrepresenting us as a peoples.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They can't even get water right.
This came all the way from the giant minion.
Man.
I think we have a case.
The one that you can see from the 101.
Earth versus Universal.
The people of Earth versus Universal.
Graphics guy. I don't know, guys.
So,
I don't think it's worth fighting on this one. I think we just need to be smarter when we do the DreamWorks logo.
So then this has the direct effect
of affecting
us now. How big
of a fish would the moon boy actually catch?
So now,
is what I want to know.
Yes. DreamWorks boy. So now this has an effect on us. Now we're like, okay, next time we have an idea like this, we know, okay, don't even go anywhere close to the theme song. And of course, music's always easier to copyright.
Here's the thing. We already have done a solution to this problem before. Remember the Scale of Star Wars video I did back in the day? And we had the whole Star Wars tune on kazoos. Mm-hmm. Like, we had discussed doing that for this video.
Hell yeah, brother.
But we thought it'd be fine. Like the intro you're talking about, you pitch shifted it down because we thought it'd be funny to hear like the really like off pitch version of this from it being in orbit coming over the city and pairing it up. And
so funny.
We should have just gone the kazoo route.
We should have.
We talked about it.
I mean, is it still on Corridor Digital?
It is.
It is still on corridordigital.com. Mm. You can see the original version of it right now.
That's a really, really great point.
Look, here's the thing. We can re-export and try to do a backdoor submission.
I'm just saying,
in the meantime, we did the trim to get them off our back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm fine to do that. I just didn't want to wait 3 days and then have them take all that money that was in escrow gets... You know, another 500,000.
Wouldn't we still get it back if we end up like?
If you win the dispute, but we don't win the dispute.
Yeah.
Right.
And then if they trim it,
it's rigged.
It's I think the escrow money goes to them but anyway, yeah, that's what we could
do.
That'll be the solution. But either way, it's just interesting, and I thought people might like to hear about how the intricacies of that.
It's the exact reason why we never look at music videos on VFX Artists React, even though there are so many incredible visuals and music videos that are so worth talking about, but we can't even use the visuals with the music muted.
The moment you show any music, or the moment you can hear any music, is like, that was the easiest thing to copyright claim, and it's the most sophisticated now for the automated AI, you know, bots that.
But the music doesn't even need to be playing.
And now the music oftentimes doesn't even be claimed because the music industry is so much more litigious with respect to this than film and television, that, you know, it's almost just like, it's unheard of. And it became that way, obviously, in light of such rampant copyright infringement and stealing that happened in, you know, the early 2000s. But that happened because they were charging $20 for a compact disc of 10 songs in 1997. $20 then. I remember paying 20 doll hairs for a Tupac CD when I was probably too young to own the album. Yeah. But either way, it was 20.
That was like your life savings.
It was $21.
Wow.
For 10 songs.
Ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. In the richest country in the world, we've got to have it better. Oh my God. Ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. So anyway, they ripped people off for years. Well, they all were high on the hog and taking advantage of every listener. And then, you know, they got bitten back by that when the internet came around, and now things are starting to level out. I mean, I know Spotify is not a great deal for the artists on there, so that's unfortunate. But maybe the artists should petition Spotify to, you know, raise
I mean, they have been.
Yeah. Well, or they could just band together and create their own one.
And they've done that too.
Have they done that too? Okay.
I think Tidal was kind of that.
Your favorite band's t-shirts. When you go to see them in concert, that's buy
true.
A t-shirt.
Yeah. Dude, I went
legit.
Yeah. I went to go to a little concert the other night and I bought a shirt.
Hell yeah.
That was my contribution.
Bands should
we went to a
Texas clubs.
Dance hall.
Texas dude. Dance
a Texas
hall?
Texas Hill Country Dance Hall. An original
Slayer
Slippers. 120-year-old 125-year-old dance hall.
Wow.
Where you dance in line, like you dance in, you don't move side to side, you move front to back and you move around in a circle. It's really fun. Anyway.
Does it make you feel like you're a part of something when everyone's dancing in the same style?
Part of Texas.
You know, like I was like, this is kind of fun.
Well, I mean,
there's
always
a whole culture around it.
Yeah. Oh, like I always see in like movies and stuff, they always bust out into dances on the dance floor. And everyone's doing the same step, and it's so coordinated.
It wasn't that coordinated, but
it's like better than random dance.
Yeah, though. There's certain types of dancing that are considered the types of dancing you should be dancing. You know,
like the waltz.
Yes, there's a waltz. Yeah, there was a two-step.
The two-step.
Yeah.
Is it called line dancing? Is
that and then there's line dancing. Line dancing. That's another one.
What do you do?
There's a place that I want to go to every summer. At the end of summer, they have what's called Old West Fest. And it's this ranch and they have like a Western town and you can go there and you pay tickets and there's events and rides and carnivals and stuff. And one of the things that they do is inside of the music hall, they teach you how to square dance. And they're like, oh, I don't know.
One and two.
I like salsa dancing.
Cool. There you go. Yeah, you could do that.
I didn't know that.
I'm sure there's a place equivalent.
Swing dancing? I learned how to swing dance. That was fun.
There you go.
Very nice. Haven't done that in a number of years.
Did you ever break a collarbone swing dancing?
Few.
I used to have more collarbones.
I used to have a few collarbones. Now I just have two.
So anyways, when we do the next video,
we'll be a bit more careful.
We have to just be a bit more careful, and we've learned our lesson here over time. We've gotten. I mean, remember
the answer is just to not make any more videos. I'm done.
Thanks.
There's just too much risk involved. So I'm just gonna not make videos now.
That's not where I was trying to go.
I know.
You remember when we used to put Simon and Garfunkel in the vlogs?
Yeah. We got away with it, too.
We got away with it. As long as it was less than 4 seconds, you could get away with it.
Good old freedom days.
ripping a song.
Yeah.
Putting it in your video.
Just a couple seconds.
Well, it goes to show you because it was allowed because the platform wasn't taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't.
I mean,
I remember calling people when we were trying to film Sync.
We also weren't making any.
Oh, Sync?
I remember calling people when we were trying to film Sync and being like, so you guys TV or film or be like YouTube?
Neither.
And then they'd be like, so. And the rates were just completely, completely astronomical and different. And I get why they were like that because there was an established modus operandi based upon the reasonable costs of the industry. And people said, oh, okay, this is what we can charge for it. And then we started calling people being like, oh yeah, we've got like 20% of that. They'd be like,
that's funny.
Yeah. Some of them would get mad at you and be like, you know, and it's like, well, I can't just come up with more money. This is the amount of money that I have. So you don't have to get mad at me. I'm just telling you what I have. And they'd be like, we haven't charged that. We wouldn't charge that if it was Queen Elizabeth, you know, or whatever. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
But some people are just like that.
I don't know that much has changed for the YouTube filmmaking game.
Well, but it's more like, I think it's more like the traditional and the new media. Remember, it used to be called new media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're one of them new media kids, aren't you?
New media rock stars. Classes in film school.
Yes, right. Yeah, it's like new. Exactly. Just to contextualize the entirety of it as new media.
What was really funny is we took new media and they had us making web series that were structured like
exactly TV, like a TV series, show, right?
Just shorter,
right?
And then like on my weekends, I'd come here and shoot like YouTube videos with you guys. That was way more new media than what was in class.
Right. Well, no one knew what to do with it. They were like, is this television or like, how do we, I remember this specifically having a conversation with Brandon about this like way back. And then somebody was asking him the same question about a brand integration or something. And they were like, so, or about VGHS. And they were like, so is this going to be like a film or is it going to be like television? And he's like, it's not going to be like either of those things. It's going to be like this. But there wasn't anything to construct it against when you're trying to
direct
it to. Yeah. So anyway,
streaming back then. We didn't, did we?
Like, I mean, there was
Hulu, maybe
there was Netflix, but it was House of Cards Netflix. Yeah. You know,
yeah, that would have been around like 2011.
It was when there was still when Netflix was predominantly, in fact, in its entirety, films that were licensed.
Yeah. And it was the best place for that.
That was back when Netflix's like online catalog was actually pretty decent because it was all the stuff that was out in general.
Yeah.
And now everything, you know.
Now everything's original on there.
Everyone was like cutting the cord, and now it costs more to subscribe to all the different networks than it did just to have cable.
But you can be choosier too.
Of course. But if you want all of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it always costs the most to get all
of it. In the original
days,
Netflix had all of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of the whole point.
That's fair. But also, emerging industries oftentimes, especially in the tech space, you know, they emerge and they're subsidized through investment rather than through charging what it actually costs to operate that business. Yeah. I mean, this is still the case for Uber and Lyft. Mm-hmm. People are like, why is Uber and Lyft so expensive now? Because what they did was subsidize through share price and in capital the amount that they could charge for a ride so that everyone got on their platforms. And then once they drove out the taxi industry, they were like, okay, now we can finally charge what the guys in the taxis were charging because that's what it costs. Anyways.
Yeah.
I told you it was going to be a little salty.
I mean, that shit's expensive.
Right.
So. It's very expensive.
But I feel like there's been obviously a meeting in the middle of a lot of the people being willing to pay for stuff again. And also for some of the traditional pricing to come down, you know.
They'll never be able to pay enough to see that intro to the Universal video.
Well, let's try it back and upload.
Actually, no.
Maybe by the time this comes out,
$4 a month
fixed
to see the intro of the Universal video.
It only costs your email. Yeah, we give a 2-week free trial to quarterdigital.com.
Universal can't harm us over there.
They can't harm us over there anymore,
you're
boys.
You're safe over there.
For now, because until they consider it more of a legitimate player, and then we'll have to, you know, and they'll be like, okay, we need to come to an agreement on.
Oh, gosh.
When are we going to need another lawyer, Jake? When are you going to need your own intern lawyer?
I pray that we never need an in-house lawyer. If we need a new
one, we
already have an in-house
stealing
lawyer.
Stealing our content.
Yeah, but I'm like,
you have a very many more hats than
I'm
just
like
lawyer.
Short. I'm like hashtag lawyer. I'm like not like, you know.
Same way that I'm hashtag engineer.
Yeah, it's like if I legitimately have a legal problem, I call my friend from law school, Kunal, who specializes in IP law, and him and I like taught each other and traded mind space as we prepared for the bar exam. But then he went out and actually started his own practice and worked for a big firm and now has his own practice and does IP law as a specialty for small business. And I make YouTube videos. So it's like, I think I know what the answer is here, but if I need to be absolutely sure, I have to call him. Yeah.
Oh man.
Better Jake. Call Kunal.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Jake, I'm guessing you've heard about the ChatGPT lawyer scandal, right?
Oh no, I haven't heard about this.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Tell me, Griffin. I haven't heard either.
I highly recommend looking up any number of the wonderful video essays or podcasts on it. I believe Legal Eagle did a video on it too. Mm-hmm. It's very good. Essentially, there was a case regarding it was between an airline and a passenger. Yeah. And one of the lawyers, you know what I'm talking about?
Submitted ChatGPT. Well, yes,
submitted ChatGPT evidence
without
verifying any of the cases referenced.
Right.
And it included like two of the three cases were entirely
made up. Yeah.
And he looked like they both looked like total dinguses.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Dismissed with prejudice. Here's how this works. There's two companies. There's LexisNexis and there's Westlaw.
I thought you were going to say Wexis. There's LexisNexis and Wexis.
And then there's LexisPlexis from Long Beach to Texas. But that's not related. So LexisNexis and Westlaw, they basically have the entire archive of case law available to you. And what you're supposed to do is if you have a case like that, you look up and you type in keywords like person on an airplane, da 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 da. You know, you type in facts that would be relevant to your facts and you try to find a case which just says lands on all fours, we called it, meaning that it's the same exact situation just for another person. And so if you can find a case that's in your jurisdiction where another person went through almost the same exact circumstances, you can say this case doesn't need to be cited because the court in 1989, you know, Johnson versus Ferguson, whatever, did this. So we don't need to discuss this. Motion for summary judgment. And so that's what lawyers try to do so they don't waste the court's time.
Sure.
But obviously somebody tried to chat GPT their way through this rather than using the proper sources because it takes more time. And they obviously didn't reference it. All it would have taken was like, okay, is Jones versus Smith an actual case in this jurisdiction? And Westlaw would have been able to tell you that in like 30 seconds. So I don't know why they didn't do that.
The main reason why I've not been able to use ChatGPT for writing any of my videos. Like I've tried. Yeah. Like I've tried to leverage it, not to actually write my script, but to like leverage it to like write some scenarios and stuff like that. And it'll write some stuff and like do some calculations. I'm like, oh wow, that's crazy. And then I check the math on it and it's just completely wrong. Right. And it's just made up. It'll just make up facts and make up references to stuff that just doesn't exist.
Right.
It's like,
why wouldn't it?
I can't
look at the
trust
way that
this
it's
at
trained.
All. So I'm just not going to use it the way I hoped I could.
It's not trained to know how to fact check. It doesn't, that's a concept that doesn't even exist to it. It's like it's trained to try to give information that's relevant back to you based upon your inquiry.
It's literally designed to just give you what it thinks you want to hear.
Right, which is the last thing that humanity needs right now.
On part two of this podcast.
We tell each other what we want to hear.
We have ChatGPT tell us that everything's fine, we're perfect, and there's nothing that needs to change about us.
No, dude, she's totally missing out. You're great, dude.
You don't need to work on yourself. The world needs to
work
on
itself.
Work on itself. Anyways.
Yeah, dude. Well, AI, don't trust it. It's not that good.
Well, I mean, just know how to use it, I think, is the better answer there. Like, just know how to use it. Know what it's good for.
It's not good for making my videos.
But it's great for
like
writing.
I literally put in like the same questions that I've already answered in previous videos to see what answers it would give me. And it would give answers that sound right. They seem like they feel like they're right, but they're just not.
So it's like a politician.
Yeah.
No, it legitimately is. It just says words and they mean absolutely nothing.
So it's like a politician. It's like they just go on and on and you're like, nobody even knows at this point. Maybe we can throw them in with an AI and just they can all live on an island together. Island of noise that doesn't make any sense. And they just talk to each other.
AI Congress.
AI Congress, dude.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
1 month, Mr. Beast challenges bro. America.
A never-ending AI-created congressional session.
Totally be the next Mr. Beast video. I took over Congress for 1 month.
Oh, last man. To stop filibustering.
yeah. Last to stop filibustering gets a county.
Gets a kickback. Oh, wow. A lobbyist kickback.
Yeah, last to stop filibustering gets a lobbyist kickback.
Stop it. This sounds too real.
Gets a 400-page section of the next
bill. It's right
bill.
Out of D.C., bro.
Oh, my God.
Minus the Mr. Beast.
I know.
I have nothing against Mr. Beast, but that sounds awful.
No, but that's just the fact that that's just only an extension of the truth. Yeah, I think says everything
exactly,
you need
exactly.
I wish you could filibuster in court. Dude. Know? Like to the judge.
How about
just
it?
Just get up there and start reading a book.
Just read facts.
The bailiff starts trying to like get you and you're like,
yeah, you're like, trust me. This excerpt from the Lincoln memoirs is relevant to this. Sir, this is about the rubber in these shoes. What does this have to do with it? Oh my God, that'd be funny.
Do you want to talk about the dunk tanks?
Oh, do I? Let's
or
just
save that
we'll
for next
you,
week.
We will
let's
leave you with them. This. Out there in the studio right now.
Not one.
There is not one, but two dunk tanks. Two dunk tanks. That will decide the fate of Trickshot humanity from here to kingdom come.
It's crazy. This morning, that was an empty room. And now there are two dunk tanks and a full Trickshot setup surrounding it.
1,000 gallons of water with 4 Trickshots to decide.
38 ping pong balls also.
Man versus machine. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that because it's coming soon.
More bounces than you've ever seen before.
Seriously. We're doing the longest, most number of bounces ping pong trick shot we've ever done.
In the studio.
In the studio.
By Jake.
The furthest distance to throw a grape into my mouth.
No.
Oh, I would win that one.
So Griffin, maybe in the future we'll do Griffin food trick shots.
If you threw it at me. At
Griffin,
least.
Why you got it? I had it so epically placed, and then you're like, grapes, bro.
Griffin's hungry,
that's
guys.
Classic okay. Griffin. I love it.
All right. I think that's Griffin's it here. Anybody else have any last words?
Go watch the intro on quarterdigital.com.
Okay.
Yeah, I would honestly say you should go over there. And watch the intro.
I mean,
and
if you then, haven't done so.
I mean, I'm putting a little bit more emphasis on it. It's not that big of a deal.
And go
but
watch
like,
the intro. And go watch the intro.
Yeah.
Look,
we got it on mobile app. We got it on smart TV. We got it on desktop.
Oh, what are you waiting for then?
Check it out.
Yeah.
All right.
2 week free
go
trial.
Watch the intro.
All right.
You'll never be able to see
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next
thanks
time.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Ready, Ren?